In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Michael the Archangel. And to understand St. Michael the Archangel, whose name is translated, "Who is like unto God," we have to go back into history. We actually have to look at the last book of the Apocalypse to see what happened before creation of this world, what took place in the kingdom of heaven, where the angels fought a fight long before we were brought into existence. In the kingdom of heaven, God created angels who are pure spirits like him. The highest of the angels was given the name Lucifer, the light bearer. And from this height, Lucifer, the light bearer, looked upon himself and was dazzled by his own beauty, by his own power, by his own magnificence. And he began to fill himself up with this pride and vanity. I am like God. Look at all the power I have, the beauty, the glory. Look at me. See how good I am. I am God. And St. Michael, the archangel, rises up against him and says, "Who is like unto God? There is only one God." And so ensues this great battle in the kingdom of heaven. And Lucifer, from the height, the highest height, you might say, he is cast to the lowest depths. For man is made just a little less than the angels, but we are far above the devils. And so from this great height, Lucifer and those angels who followed him were cast down to this earth and into the depths of hell because of pride, because of rebellion. One father of the church suggests to us that the test for these angels was that it was revealed to them that the Son of God would become man. And the job of angels, the word angel means messenger, the job of these angels is to watch over mankind, to reveal to us God's plan for us, to guide us, to protect us, and lead us into heaven. And it was revealed to the angels that the Son of God was going to become man. And from their lofty height and dignity, the glory that they had, they must bow down and worship God in human flesh. And it is said that this was what Lucifer refused to do, to bow beneath a creature that was less than himself. For I am as God, I'm the height, I'm the greatest. And so he was cast out by St. Michael, the leader of the good angels, in this fight. And they were cast forever from the kingdom of heaven. And this suggests to me a conflict that we might find in the Gospels. For if I read the parables that Christ has given us, I will emphasize to you that God has given you talents and you must use those talents. You must develop those talents. You must become the best that you can be. Otherwise, you are not fulfilling your destiny before God. And now, on the other hand, I will turn to you and say, unless you humble yourself, unless you become as this little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I will tell you that Christ says, deny yourself daily, take up your cross and come, follow me. How can I reconcile becoming as a little child, humbling myself, denying myself, with using all the gifts, all the talents, and developing them and making the most of what God has given me? I say we have the answer in St. Michael. We have the difficulty shown forth in Lucifer and the fallen angels, for they were created with great gifts. But when those gifts were taken away, they were cast into the depths of hell. And now those demons hate us. They are envious of us because they are less than us. We who are not pure spirits, but are a mixture of spirit and flesh, body. We have this dilemma. How do I reconcile not denying the gifts that God has given me, giving honor and glory to God for all the talents He has placed within me, developing these talents to their full potential, not hiding them under a rock? How do I reconcile that with becoming as little as this child, becoming humble, submissive, and obedient? And it is simply because of our fallen nature that this seems to be a contradiction, that we have this conflict. For in the good angels, in St. Michael the Archangel, we have the answer. Who is like unto God to always keep us humble? To remind ourselves that we are God's creation. To remind ourselves, you might say with St. Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. If you see anything that is good in me, it is God's work and not my own. But at the same time, with St. Paul, to say that I have received these graces of God, and I must develop them, I must cultivate them. And woe to me if I do not. We have been called to imitate St. Michael. We have been called to imitate the good angels. And what is it that the angels do? They are messengers of God. They relate to mankind the goodness of God. They relate to mankind God's will for them. And we should become like them. We should become angels to one another. We should show one another the goodness of God, the glory of God. We should show them the path to heaven. But the devils are always enticing us because they hate us. And we should not feel special because the devils hate us. What the devils actually hate within us is the reflection of God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. When the devils are attacking us, they're only attacking us because they can't assault God. What they're attacking is God. The one they hate and truly hate is God. We just happen to be pawns in the game. But these devils will inspire us to become messengers of hell, to scandalize the little children, to teach the little children to forget about God, to fill the little children's heads with pride and vanity, to teach the little children how to sin, to teach them how to curse God, how to blaspheme. That is the job of demons. And our Lord is warning us, if we take up the side of the demons and we become like these devils, and we begin to scandalize the little children, it is better that we should have had a millstone tied around our neck and be cast into the depths of the sea. That's how awful it is to destroy a soul or to lead a soul away from God. For this is what happened to Lucifer and their fallen angels. They were driven not just out of heaven, not just down to this earth, but into the depths of hell, into the fiery bowels of Gehenna. That is what awaits those who teach little children to sin, who give the bad example. Those are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who teach the little children to pray, those who teach the little children to be humble, those who teach them to love God, they will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We stand in this middle ground. While we are here on this earth, composed of flesh and blood, we are neither angels nor are we devils. We're constantly fluctuating back and forth. At one moment, we cooperate with the devils, and the next moment, we cooperate with the angels. Good angels, bad angels. And our Lord says we must make a decision. St. Paul would tell us, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the moment you must choose. And don't be a fool. Choose wisely. Choose to follow God. And if you find that you have an obstacle in your life that's causing a difficulty for you to choose, get rid of it. If you look into your life and you see that your eye is causing you to sin, if you see that your eye is leading you away from God, our Lord says, pluck out that eye, cast it far from you. Is it not better to go through this life with just one eye than to be cast into hell with two eyes? If your arm scandalizes you, if it is your arm that is leading you to sin, cut it off. Or your foot, cut it off. Our Lord is not telling us to mutilate this body. Because I will tell you, this body is made in the image and likeness of God. It is holy and good. And we should not harm this body, this life that is been given us, and this flesh belongs to God, and we have no right to harm it in any way. We have no right to mutilate it, to destroy it, to desecrate it. So what is our Lord talking about? Well, if your best friend, one who is dear to your heart, part as your own soul, is leading you to sin, you must cut off that friendship. If your possessions, your home, or whatever it may be, is a cause of your sin, is a temptation to you, is leading you away from God, sell it, give it to the poor, and go follow Christ. Get rid of it. Cast it far from you. Whatever it is in this world that has become an obstacle for you to follow Christ, get rid of it. No matter how painful it may be. Even if it is as painful as plucking the eye out of your head, do it. Don't hesitate. But get rid of it. It's not worth it. When I consider my eternal soul, there is nothing in the world that is worth it. What should I lose my soul over? Someone else? Property, wealth, position, prestige, honor, reputation? Nothing is worth the price of my immortal soul. And Saint Michael is willing, I should say is more than willing, is eager to come and finish this fight that began before the world was even created. Saint Michael is eager to come to our defense. Our guardian angel is eager to come to our defense. But we have to welcome their assistance. We have to invite them. We must pray to them. And I remind you that just as eager as Saint Michael is to come to our defense, Lucifer is eager to come for our destruction. As much as our guardian angel is willing to come to our aid and to inspire us and to help us, devils are there to assault us. We are in the midst of the battleground of eternity. Whether we want to admit it or not, there is a spiritual warfare going on for our immortal soul. And we have the power within us to choose the victor. Are we going to give the victory to the angels? Are we going to give the victory to the devils? The choice is ours. And now is the time to make that choice. Choose which side we're going to follow. Choose where we're going to spend eternity. If we want to follow the angels into eternal happiness of heaven, we must accept all the graces God has given us. We must not bury our talents, but we must develop to the full potential all the gifts, all the graces God has given us, and be the best that we can possibly be. But at the same time, we must bow our head in the utmost humility, acknowledging our unworthiness for all the graces that God has given us, acknowledging that all the good that is in us is God's gift. It is His work, and therefore all the honor and glory belong to Him. And to remain truly humble as the little child, not filled with pride or boastfulness and self-conceit or self-centeredness as the big child, but the humility of the little child. Realizing that despite all the good that is in us, despite the physical strength that we have, we are still weak. Grace is made perfect in our weakness. And I think Saint Michael shows us that we can develop God's gifts within us. We can raise them ever higher. We can perfect them. And remain humble, remain docile, always acknowledging that we are not God, that the good within us, the graces we've received, the development of these graces is God's work. And with that, we begin to influence our fellow men like angels. We begin to lead other souls as angels do, rather than to scandalize them as devils and evil men do. Now our Lord says something else that might be confusing. He says it is necessary that there should be scandals, but woe to the man by whom they come. Woe to these devils who are leading men to sin. But it is necessary that these devils should be there to lead men to sin. Sounds a bit confusing. But it is not really that confusing at all. God demands that we be put to the test. God demands that we love Him. God demands that we make a choice. And how are we ever going to make a choice unless the choice is presented to us? And the devils, in spite of themselves, are doing God's work. They present us with the temptation, and with that temptation, the opportunity to cooperate with the grace of God. The devils present us with the opportunity to advance in grace, to advance in virtue, to become ever better. All the while they condemn themselves. It is necessary that there should be scandals, but woe to the man by whom these scandals come. God will take their evil and make great good come from it. But they will pay for all eternity for what they have done. It is necessary that there be evil men in this world to tempt us, to scandalize us. And they will be punished severely for it, perhaps even eternally for it. It is necessary for these to exist so that the chosen ones will advance in grace and virtue and gain their eternal reward in heaven. And I see perhaps an insight into this when you hear the words of our Lord telling us, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you. Don't render evil for evil, but contrariwise, always render love. Love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. This is the example Christ gave us as he hung upon the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Those who are scandalizing, those who have taken up the work of the devils, it is necessary that they should be here so that we can advance in virtue. They have done us a good deed. The evil that they have intended will work for our good. And for this, these evil-minded individuals have done us a great good. And therefore, we should thank them. We should love them. We should pray for them, that God would forgive them, that they would wake up and repent and return to the state of grace and virtue before they die, before they're lost for all of eternity. So when someone wounds you, rather than striking back, let us learn from Christ to forgive them. Let us be patient with them. In doing so, we advance in grace and virtue. We gain a higher place in heaven. And these individuals, despite their intention, have helped us. And for this, we should be grateful to them. We should love them all the more. And if we truly love them, we have forgiven them. But we also desire their eternal salvation. We want to turn them around. We want to pray with Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Those brothers in heaven, the angels, were split. A great fight ensued. That fight continues and will continue until the end of time. Only now it is no longer fought in heaven, but it's fought here on earth. And we are the prize. We are the pawns that are used in this fight, in this warfare. Let us choose to follow the angels. Let us choose the winning team, if you will. But let us love our fellow men. Love them enough not to lead them into the pits of hell, not to lead them into the following the devils, but to give them the example of following the angels. To pray for them when we see them going the wrong way, to admonish them, to forgive them, to lift them up at every opportunity. And now, one last thing for you to remember. Love hurts. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for the brethren. Those who are going to hurt you the most are going to be those whom you love the most. Those who are near and dear to you are going to become your greatest cross, your greatest burden, the greatest source of scandal. If I ask the little children where they learn to curse, where they learn to swear, where they learn bad words, where they learn bad things, if the parent or father or mother asks them, it was my friend down the street or it was somebody else, but I tell you, I would almost bet my life on it. They learn those bad words from their own parents. Children learn to sin from mommy and daddy. That, I think, is the greatest tragedy. That is the woe that our Lord would suggest. It would be better that you have a millstone hung around your neck. God has appointed parents to lead these children as angels into heaven. But by their bad example, they are leading them in the opposite direction. And you say, but the children are too young, they don't understand. I think you are mistaken. We learn evil much sooner than you can believe. We imitate evil much sooner than you think. It is much easier for some reason for us to learn how to sin or to do evil than it is for us to learn to be good. The greatest enemy of children are often their own parents. The greatest enemy of parents are often their own children. The greatest enemy of brother is his brother, sister is her sister. Siblings become one another's worst enemies, spiritual enemies. And that is the big tragedy, as we scandalize and lead one another to sin. Even while we say, I love you, we teach each other to sin. We teach each other to go away from God. And I'm not saying that you should hate your brother or hate your mother, sister, father, whatever. Hate your relationship, even though our Lord says, you must do this if you want to love me. You must be willing to do this. If this is what is the scandal causing you to sin, pluck them out. Get rid of them. But at the same time, pray for them. Forgive them. if you are the stronger, admonish. Don't cast away the little child. The little child is not the one leading you to sin. You are the one leading him to sin. Stop it. Take whatever means are necessary. Put an end to it. And become as angels, so that it won't be necessary for the Son to say to the Father, I must leave you to follow the calling of God. I must renounce you because you are an obstacle to me serving God. Don't force that. Because if you do, the church, God, will stand up and say, your child is right. This child belongs to God before the child belongs to you. Don't be that obstacle, but show the child how to serve God. Be the angel. Call upon St. Michael the Archangel to help you in this battle, to help you become an angel in your children's lives, in the lives of your spouse, your parents, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, how to become this good angel in this world, in this fight, so that we can rise with St. Michael into the heights of heaven. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et manet semper. Amen.